been side by side and side by the committee. Now we'll head over to the department, and then
thanks, Chair. Good morning, everybody. I will start. I've also left another meeting, and then Mr. Simon Robertson and Mr. Dr. Andrew Mangena will take over, do the details, but I will hopefully not stay for too long. What we wanted to present was just we have decided to, responding to the issues raised in the public hearings, and then also in discussions with other ministers within government, we've decided that the best would be to take out the cyber crimes component of the bill and to leave the cyber security aspects behind. So what we've got here is two documents. One is the original bill with track changes. I think you have a copy. That's really to enable members to see what's been done and what's been removed and what's been added to what was originally there. The other document then is a clean version of the bill, which would be then, I think, easier to work with. The intention for today was to present the cyber crimes bill. It's not a new bill. It's basically, as I said, just the cyber crimes section taken out of the original bill. I'm not sure we've done this before as the Justice Committee. I'm not sure if it gets a new number or how it works. We did it some time ago. I remember we took out three sections. I can't remember the process. We just need to be looked at. But effectively, then we've taken out the cyber security sections, which would be particularly the structures dealing with cyber security, the issue of critical information, infrastructure protection. Those would be the main provisions taken out. Mr. Robertson, Mr. Mangena can deal with a lot of the finer detail. The cyber crime section, chapter 2, which is the crimes, we did try and circulate to the NPA as the body that is going to be prosecuting crimes. There wasn't too much of a response from them. They generally seem to be happy. On the issue of unlawfulness, which was one of the more contentious items, Mr. Robertson, Mr. Mangena can go into it, but there is an attempt on page 17 of the track changes version to, under the definitions, and to limit or to specify that when one talks about unlawfulness, we're not referring to not processing in terms of papaya. In terms of malicious communications, we've dropped clause 19, which is the data message, which is false, on the basis that was too wide, and it's then limited to data messages which incite damage to property or violence, and data messages that threaten persons with damage to property or violence. And violence is bodily harm, and property is also specified. I think those are the main issues I'd want to refer to. Maybe one other point is that the 24/7 point of contact at the request of the police has been changed to designated point of contact. Sorry? yeah. And, sorry? Yeah, was that in there before? Okay. Alright, look, those are the, and then the other, in the schedule, in terms of the crimes, there was a crime relating to critical information infrastructure which has been then taken out because that section is being left behind in the original bill. Maybe one other point to be emphasized, although it should have been made in the presentation, but just to remind members that the bill seeks to also in the schedule take out issues relating to child pornography and pornography and put them into the Sexual Offences Act, and that's with agreement with the with I think it's Department of Ministry of Communications. The Film and Publications Amendment Bill is in the NCOP. I checked with their Deputy Minister. They are expecting it to be passed this session. But Chair, that's roughly the main changes. I think Mr. Robertson, Mr. Mangena can then go through the detail. We would like to get this bill passed by Parliament before the end of the term. Because of the problems of cyber crimes in our country. So our hope would be that we present today and then members can then consider the proposed amendments, and then there can be a further meeting to finalise the bill and make further amendments if necessary. Thanks, Chair. If I can then give to Mr. Robertson, Mr. Mangena.
As best I remember, this bill sent before our committee on criminal issues. Maybe you can just, because I'm sitting here in terms of the question, and we also proceed by that, maybe leave all those critical issues which you think should come to the attention of the committee. I'm aware most of the questions in which are positioned, so please take this on the relevant consultation and very much. But I'm also seeing the green hat, which apparently is a addition from public comment or from input.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson and Deputy Minister. As indicated, the bill was for the committee at the last meeting of the committee. We were requested to take the proposal back to our principal regarding the scrutiny of the bill, mainly in the cybercrime and cyber security bill. This bill is directly affect to a decision that was subsequently taken. As such, the bill now will only be named Cyber Crimes Bill, and the cyber security part is omitted. The first amendment is to change the name of the bill, that is on the first page. The non-title is also further changed, that is on page 2 of the document that I did provide to you. Mainly to omit from the long title anything that deals with cyber security and to affect consequential amendments there to cater for what the system lacks. As indicated by the Deputy Minister, the 24-7 contact after consultation with the police, they requested that we merely call that the designated point of contact, and that is also indicated in the long title of the Act. Regarding revision index or arrangement of sections to the bill, that was obviously redrafted to make provision for the amendment that was affected to the bill, mainly on the one hand to deal with the cybercrime issues and omit anything that deals with cybersecurity and which is later omitted in the bill. So we'll start on page 9, and that is mainly the definition clause of the law. The definitions on page 9 of the Arbitration Act was taken out due to the fact that that relates to a cyber security matter or clauses. On page 10, we did discuss it previously in material regarding the definition of a computer. There were various proposals that were made, and we did amend the definition of the computer to read now as any electronic programmable device, whether used by itself or anything else, to perform functions. And the part that we do add to that is the word and include any data, computer program, computer data storage or medium that is related to and connected to that device. On the bottom of the page, that is mainly the part of the definition that we do take out. That's on the bottom of page 10 and in page 11. Computer data storage medium is the second definition, and that's on page 11. The word location was proposed by the South African Police Service when we developed the bill. And according to them, that is mainly to cater for cloud computing. According to us, it's not necessary to refer to location for the following reasons, mainly that even if it's cloud computing, there will be some server that actually will store the information. So we propose that the word location be omitted from that definition. On page 12 of the bill, we do insert a definition of designated point of contact, and that caters for the 24/7 point of contact, and which is now renamed. At the bottom of page 12, the definition of financial intelligence center is omitted. Similarly, on page 13, Intelligence Service Act is omitted. Both of these definitions relate to cyber security issues, which is omitted from the bill. On page 14, payments institution is also omitted from the bill for the same reason, mainly that it pertains to cyber security matters. And, on page 15, similarly, and for that reason, Party Finance Management Act and Public Service Act is also omitted. On page 15, a definition of protection of personal information act is inserted. That is the case for explanatory provision that forms part of the definition provision, which I will deal with later on. Then on page 17, a clause has been inserted. There were concerns during the public consultation process that persons that contravene the Protection of Personal Information Act may actually be held accountable for certain cyber offences. And the offences in question may need the offences of access, the unlawful access, a computer system, or data or a computer program. Also the intersection offences in clause 3 of the bill, and mainly both referred to in clause 3.2, that relates to a person that is in possession of information that was unlawfully intercepted, and subsection 3 of section 3 that relates to possession of information in respect of which there is a reasonable suspicion that was acquired unlawfully, and a person cannot give a sufficient explanation. As well as section 7, which mainly relates to the password and access code related offences. To address this concern by the many of the NGOs and other people, the clause is now inserted to say that if for purposes of section clause 2, 3 and 7 of the Cybercrime Bill, if a person do not comply with the provisions of the Protection of Personal Information Act, that's mainly chapter 3, which set out the principles for lawful processing of personal information, section 72, for provisions of the code that is issued, that contraventions of the FOPIA must be dealt with in the FOPIA and should not be dealt with in terms of the cyber. I think to a large extent that will probably address the issues that was raised where the person received personal information, probably in contravention of the FOPIA, and the possibility that he or she can be prosecuted for a cyber offence. On page 17, we're going to run up to clause 11 of the bill. I believe most of clause 11 of the bill, sorry, that's on page 26. All the other clauses, clause 2 to 10, were discussed in the committee to a large extent. We did deal with that during the our response to the submissions and all that. But in relation to aggravated offences,
can I just come in on one point, and that would be we are with particularly clauses 2 and 3, the unlawful access and interception of data. The issue of a public interest defence was raised. It is something that we are looking at. But for the purposes of having something ready for this bill, it's not going to be possible. So it's something that we would give the undertaking that we will be looking at coming later with specific legislation on that, just to add that point.
Then on page 27, regarding the offences in clause 11 of aggravated offences that was committed against specific infrastructures or information infrastructures. Previously we did insert there a critical information infrastructure, but critical information infrastructure will fall part of the cyber security part of the bill that was omitted. So on page 27, in paragraph B of clause 7.1, subparagraph 3 is a method that deals with critical information infrastructure. On page 28, I make a recommendation that we probably need to an extent, although not necessary, to restructure chapter 2 and 3 of the Act to deal with participation in a crime and the offences, as well as a competent verdict at the end of all the offences in chapter 2 and 3. If that is acceptable to the committee, I can start with the redraft in that regard. However, the content of the bill will not change. It's merely we need to move it around and do substantial renumbering. So on page 28, to cater for the offences in chapter 3, the malicious communications offences. In clause 12, we do insert a reference to that offences in the participation criminalisation section of this bill. Regarding sentencing, there is no amendments to the content, except that at the end, on page 30, there is a clause that provides where a person committed certain offences where computers involved, that the court must regard it as an aggravated offence. There was concern in the comments that computer systems can belong to the person himself, so we do try to clarify that and state that it must be a computer system belonging to another person which is used to commit an offence. Regarding competent verdicts, there is small amendment that in page 51, and it mainly relates to the possession of hardware and software tools in respect of various contraventions of this bill. That was requested by concerned parties which deal with the prosecution of cybercrime as well as the adjudication of cybercrime. So from page 51 to page 53, that amendment is effective to the competent verdict clause. On page 35, to cater for something similar to Section 270 of the Criminal Procedure Act in relation to competent verdict, the clause is inserted. First, managed to provide similar to the Criminal Procedure Act, if a person is charged with the offence in terms of this Act, and so he cannot be convicted of that offence or attempt to commit that offence or any other of the competent verdicts, that he or she may be convicted of the offence where the essential elements similar to what is proved by the public prosecutor. Also, that is clause 10 that is inserted there. Clause 11 is to the same effect, but that specifically relates to malicious communication. And if a malicious communication offence is not proved, the prosecutor proved other offence. Person may be convicted of that offence. That is similar to the competent verdict test of that in the Criminal Procedure Act. It's not something new. Chapter 3 of the bill deals with malicious communication. The Deputy Minister did explain some of the major amendments that we did affect in this chapter. I'm going to deal with in more detail with that. Okay. On page 56, that is the definition section of this chapter. There was a request during public consultation as well as other subsequent consultations that did take place that we do define what entails a group of persons. So a definition is inserted on page 56. Specify what is a group of persons for purposes of this offences. On the bottom of page 36, that was previously named data message which is harmful. We did, as a result of certain amendments that were proposed, rename that offence. And now it's that it is often a message that threatens a person to damage the property or violence. In clause 18 of the bill, on page 37, the amendments there that's involved in black were previously discussed. We did adapt the offence to make it specific to mere threats of violence or damage to property. Something that was removed on page 38 is paragraph B. That was the so-called self-harm clause or bullying clause. For the same purposes as fake news, that was probably too wide and was decided to take it out. One must remember that the Protection of Harassment Act is always available to the person if he is being bullied. On page 38 to 39 of the bill, the Deputy Minister already discussed that. It took out the fake news clause in the bill. On page 40, distribution of data message of internet image, that was discussed in detail in the committee as well as the amendment that was proposed. And for the rest of that chapter, there is no real amendments. So we can move up to page 50, jurisdiction. Regarding the jurisdiction clause, the department wants to accept a small amendment, which will be tabled tomorrow. I will hand it over to the secretary. And that relates to jurisdiction, where we provide the jurisdiction for a court to hear offence. When you refer, amongst others, to your offences as referred to in section 17, 18, 19 of the Act, obviously, when you draft it, that an intimate image cannot relate to a legal persona. That should be taken out. And I will provide an amendment to that effect. On page 52, I've used the document that is before the committee. There's something in purple that was inserted after the judicial visit. I also provide that for certain acts that can admitted in board of the ship, the worker of a fixed platform, that's actually outside the general jurisdiction of South Africa, must be regarded to fall under the jurisdiction of the board in South Africa. It's a consequential amendment due to oversight from our part. On page 53, there's the subject that was inserted, I believe that was seriously discussed in the meeting, that relates to the fact that the police were not comfortable regarding the investigation of offences outside the Republic, given the fact that there may be some overlaps between different divisions in the police that must investigate that. So that caused an extent to address that, and the SAPS initiative that they were happy with it. Regarding the powers to investigate search and seize, that was part of the law. There is no substantial amendment that will affect the set renumbering, but I do want to point out on page 65, bearing there should be amended. It should read assisting a police official in investigating to keep effect to the content of that clause. I also do want to further clarify currently the RICO clause in this bill, but it's currently clause 40. So this is the deal with the amendment on page 70 and 71, and that deals with the prohibition of disclosure of information. On page 71, in chapter 10, there was provision for the sharing of information between the structures regarding cyber security issues. That is now taken out. It's also in the middle of the page, paragraph E. Inclusion of the word the prevention, detection and mitigation of cybercrime, and that relates to the sharing of information amongst others between persons that are competent authorities. Obviously we do need to share information to them, inform them about cybercrime that's taking place or which may affect them. That is also, if you deal with the next chapter, we should call it a specifically authorized to be issued such information. This is just to make it absolutely sure that this falls outside the prohibition of this section. The recap clause, I think it was, that is on page 72, clause 40, that was discussed in depth in the committee previously. After consultation with amongst others the Internet Service Providers Association, the various service providers, etc., that's actually involved in the application of the RICO, they requested me to take out a reference to archived communication related information. And that's discussed on page 73. We would deal with specific obligations on service providers that cannot or do not have the obligation in terms of RICO to store all related information. They haven't got the duty to store archived communication and related information. So the only thing that they can do at any particular time is one of the measures to serve from them in terms of this bill is to preserve real-time communication and related information from a date specified in that measure. So the period specified in the measure ends. So that's just taking out the reference to archive communication and related information mainly. And also on page 74, that is the subpage 5B. Traffic data is defined in the bill, so the indication in green to what is traffic data you can take out. It's already described properly in the bill. Okay, on page 74. That's the expedited preservation of data direction rules. Similarly, after discussions with the service providers, ISPA, and everybody else that has obligations in terms of RICA, they requested that we take out the reference to the previous section of clause in the bill, clause 40, due to the fact that it already indicates that indirect communications can only be intercepted in terms of the recall, and real-time communication related information on an ongoing basis can only be obtained in recall. We don't need to redefine or to refer to that in this expedited preservation of data direction clause. And so that is taken out. On page 79, proposal regarding this preservation clause that, insofar as it relates to foreign states, that such a preservation of evidence should be very necessary. But it is our submission that we can take it out. I don't think this was before the committee. It was inserted subsequently, so I'm not going to address it in any detail. The clause that was further amended was the the clause that deals with the disclosure of data in terms of a direction. And that is on page 82. During the public consultation process, there was concern by the service providers that the bill does not tell you how you must deal with evidence other than data that is used for preserve in terms of other provisions in terms of this chapter. To assist the illustration of this clause, on page 86, subsection was inserted. And previously, it was already before the committee, but we did not discuss this. And mainly, in terms of this clause, we do the specifying if the preservation of evidence direction is in play. And if it relates to evidence that is not data, that item must be seized in terms of the search warrant in terms of clause 29 Monitor Act. And then we further specify that the police official may at any time apply for the search warrant in terms of section 29 for the search for access and seizure of the article, which includes data that is subject to preservation of evidence direction. Clause 35 was redrafted to an extent. Clause 35 mainly deals with the situation where police needs information that's available in the public arena. Obviously, you do not need the one for that. You can download it, copy it, as well as use it. The second part of that clause deals with the fact that a person hands over certain data to the police that is in his possession. And the reason for this clause is specified in the heading to this clause, and that is to enable the police to investigate cybercrime to determine whether an offence has been committed. According to the police, the words in the B part of that section will require local authority to disclose data should be taken out. So they did indicate to me that their mandate, even in terms of the constitution, is quite wide. They may receive information from any place, legal or illegal, obtained for the purposes of investigating any crime that is committed. So to give effect to that proposal that was made by the police, we may need to take out in paragraph B that the person should be locked in possession of data before we can pass it on to the police. Small amendment. The word forward is substituted with furnish. Intended offense on page 89 is substituted with and the amendment on page 19 is mainly just to completely define what offences must be dealt with in terms of this spontaneous information clause, in terms of which the police and other people may share information regarding cybercrime. And obviously something that was left out previously was an offence that pertains to or may be committed against or in the other country. So we do cater for that now on page 19, where we specifically refer to those offences committed in the other state. On page 91, clause 48, again in paragraph C of 48.1, we don't need to further define traffic data in this clause since it's already defined. Further on page 91, we rename the 24/7 point of contact now to a designated point of contact. There is an incidental amendment that is affected up to page 96. The bottom of 96 to the other clauses in that chapter that deals with international cooperation. On page 97, it's a part that relates to clause 50 that deals with informing other state of the outcome of request for mutual assistance. We do in clause 51 consider the words the applicable authority in the foreign state. Obviously a foreign state can, if it requests mutual assistance, only do that through organs. So probably better to narrow it down to the applicable authority. Similar amendment is affected to the rest of that clause. On page 99, relates to the South Africa request foreign legal assistance. It did affect some contextual amendments there too. Amongst others on page 99, where it relates to a real-time communication of latent information in subparagraph 4, it's probably not necessary to specify that it must be data, due to the fact that it will always be data. Or the same with indirect communications, you do not need to specify that it's data. Indirect communication is, by virtue of definition, always something that's incorporeal and in the form of data. Traffic data is again omitted on page 91 due to the fact that it is defined. To clarify the ambit of the article at the bottom of page 99 in subsection 232, inserted the words as specified in the direction, so the direction will describe the article. Similar amendment is affected to the rest of that subsection, or rather section 51.2 of the Act. On page 100, I previously dealt with the 24 designated point of contact. The only major change here is that we rename it to a designated point of contact. Second major amendment is that this is not an obligation of the cabinet member responsible for policing to establish this point of contact, but it should be on a national commissioner of the South African Police Service, which is defined in section 1. And the rest of the amendments, I think, was adequately explained by the Prime Minister in this regard. Okay. Regarding refer to chapter 8, that's on page 103, that deals with evidence. There was no major amendments to the provision, or any no new amendments. There were previously proposed amendments to that section, but I think that has already dealt with in the bill that was submitted to the committee. Regarding chapter 9, we do reword it now, and that deals now with the reporting obligations and capacity building, and that is to cater for the various amendments that we affect related to the Act. And since chapter 10 and 11 is now actually omitted from the bill, we try to ensure that the remaining provision fits under this chapter insofar as applicable. Obligations on electronic communication service providers and financial institutions, as referred to in clause 59, there was no new amendment agreement that we need to explain. Chapter 10 is totally deleted but for the following provision. Previously in clause 54 of the bill, there was a provision that deals with capacity building that is relevant to the police to detect, prevent and investigate cybercrime. That forms part of the previous clause 53, and we do retain it in the bill, but now under the new heading, as indicated on page 111. And the clause heading is now capacity to detect, prevent and investigate cybercrime. And then the previous obligations that were on the South African police have been retained in terms of that clause. The old clause is a new number and a new heading. We can go on to the end of chapter 11, and that was on page 155, and the series is chapter 12, and the remained back and pulled our chapters in our provision. There's something that I probably just left out and want to indicate here. The obligations that was from the National Public Prosecution to keep statistics relating to investigation of cyber crime has been inserted under Chapter 9 of the Bill. I didn't specifically refer to that. But it is only communicated in the redrafted version of the Bill, or the final version. Or I can refer you to page 118. Sorry, I'm going back now. That clause is also now part of this chapter dealing with capacity building and reporting and statistics requirements. Okay, now back to the PSO chapter 12, now chapter 10, general provision. The obligations that is now imposed on the national executives to enter into agreements with foreign states in terms of this chapter, specifically restricted to cyber crime and not cyber security. That's on page 155 to 156. The rest is mainly consequential amendments. The remainder of that chapter that deals with general provisions. A notable clause that was inserted to deal with the regulation clause, and that is on page 159. And where we expand the powers of the Minister of Justice to make regulations in terms of this Act, namely that we can make regulations which is not inconsistent with this Act or any other law, to prescribe some aspects in terms of this Act to achieve the promotion of this Act or achieve its objectives. On page 140, I'll give you the obligation on the other parties that is mainly related to cyber security, which is actually omitted from the bill. So all the powers to make regulations is also omitted on page 140 of the bill. So we've got an amendment. The bill is now called the Cyber Crime Act. In the schedule to the Act, the major amendments that were affected thereto relates to the Electronic Communications and Transactions Act. That is in the schedule to the Act on page 144. Due to the fact that we do take out critical information infrastructure protection, we need to keep in place Chapter 9 of the Electronic Communications and Transactions Act, which do provide a measure of protection against critical databases. Page 125, we omit the reference to the Data Management Act, which is cater for disaster management against critical information infrastructure. That part, or that proposed amendment, is now taken out. On page 147, there was a offence in the bill which deals with cyber terrorism. On page 147 on the bottom, we amend the South African terrorism legislation. That offence is now taken out completely. And that is the sum total of the amendments that is proposed, which is not merely consequential amendments in the bill. That seems to be the end of the presentation.
Okay, I hope you are still in the meeting, eh? For calling from this meeting. Please, let's respect this meeting. Okay, any addition from the department? Any addition?
As a chairperson, we do indicate that we probably want to restructure sent two and two up the board to deal with the census. Sorry. I did indicate in respect of chapter 2 and 3 of the Act that we probably want to restructure it to ensure that we get all the cyber offences, malicious communications as a second part, and thirdly, to deal with competent verdicts and sentencing in respect of all offences, probably in one clause, or one provision. We can probably break up the current chapter 2 in different parts, like part 1, part 2, part 3, and then part 4. And that's it.
Okay, thank you so much. Before I hand over to honorable members for some specific questions and comments, you said something regarding the fake news issue. Let's note that. Because apparently the section, the clause dealing with that, it says it's going to be deleted. And maybe if you can just tell us what will then take care of fake news. And then on critical infrastructure base, also you made some comments, because I am aware that there is a bill for Parliament now dealing with taking care of critical infrastructure. And then over to you, honorable members. Over to you. Any comments, questions, and so forth. I'm seeing only one hand of honorable Bertrand. And Honorable Kosana, Honorable Bumlana, thank you so much in that order.
Thank you, Mr. Ross. We'll have to go through the thing very carefully. It's a very voluminous document, but I have just something that I don't understand. It's not a new amendment, but I don't understand what you mean on page 89. At the bottom, you said National Register of Public Prosecutions must consider the request of the National Commissioner, etc. And then under A, will not adversely affect any pending criminal proceedings or investigations within the Republic. How would the National Director of Public Prosecutions be aware of pending investigations in the Republic?
I thought maybe
you move
the person, then you're
going to
respond.
But Chair, just one thing, because Ms. Braithmuck's not reading this is in square brackets, so it's taken out.
Okay. Then we don't have a problem. Thank you.
Okay. Left in line.
Yeah, no, thanks. Honorable Chair, and greetings to everyone. I think we note this draft. As you also indicated, on our recent chat, I think we have dealt with this bill extensively. And it's almost the same, except that they have removed the part that deals with cyber security. So as it relates to cyber crime, I think it's still the way it was, except that this weight in green has been added as which are views from different stakeholders, if I understand that word. What I just want to know to say, the fact that we have put up this green part is it that you are also agreeing with this suggestion that you amend here and add it. Are you also fully agreeing on the green part? And then lastly, you spoke of the issue of chapter 2 and chapter 3, which we are still working on. Just want to check if when are you going to finalize them. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
I just want to tell you on page 52. I understand the offshore installation, but what is a fixed platform? And where is this fixed platform? Secondly, which I'm not sure, maybe if I this was sent to us electronically, all these changes, I didn't see. Maybe I did not get it personally. I'm not sure if it was. I apologize if it was, since I don't come much already. I only hope that we probably get the last bite of some kind of a flight every day.
Sir, those were the only three times so far. Then the department is
I want to start to deal with most of them, but the issue, Chair, that you raised of clause 19, our view was that, I mean, that's the one dealing with fake news. There were a lot of criticisms from this, that it was trying to control freedom of speech. And the clause is very widely, or was very widely phrased. There was the protection that the prosecution had to be authorized by a DPP, that would be a senior prosecutor. But on reflection from our side, we felt that this was, whilst the issue of fake news is something that needs to be dealt with, it is quite complicated, and one clause in this bill is not going to deal with it. It would have a lot of unintended consequences. So that's why it was taken out. The issue of Chapter 2 and 3, just to assist Mr. Roberts, Chapter 2 is crimes. Chapter 3 is malicious communications. But in fact, clauses 16 and 17 are also crimes. Excuse me. So they should really come under Chapter 2. And then I think the issues of the competent verdicts also relate to the crimes, which also then belong in Chapter 2. So it's simply a issue of reordering, not changing content. The reason it wasn't done was already things are sort of confusing, and it would mean lifting out whole sections. So that's why you would see in Chapter 2, if you take, for example, page 28, that is where clauses 17 and 18 should go. And then similarly on page 29, I think that is where, well, the competent verdicts would come in. So it's simply nothing, no wording is going to change. It's simply a reordering, which was a little bit difficult to accomplish in the track changes. Did you do it in the clean version or not? Not yet, okay. The officials can respond on the fixed platform, but it would be any fixed platform in the sea, like, for example, an oil rig. So it's you're out at the sea, but you've got something attached to the ground, and it effectively then means that there's also jurisdiction over that. And then just because a number of members came late before I gave the introduction, what we've done is this morning tabled, it was sent to the committee yesterday to print, tabled the proposed amendments. The green is basically new amendments after the last presentation by the committee. So the ones that are in dark or bold were amendments that were proposed earlier. The green then are further amendments that are proposed. But what members have is or should have is two versions of the bill. The track changes one in color, which I think you've been given, and then there's a clean version of the bill. The track changes, it seems a clean version wasn't given out, but the track changes are to enable you to see where things were and what's been changed. The clean version makes it easier to read. But the intention, as I'd raised earlier, would be that members would then, after further questions for clarification, take the bill, clean or track changes, consider it, and then come back for a further meeting see whether further amendments are necessary, whether the amendments can be agreed to, that kind of thing. I had raised that we've done this before in this committee, where a bill has been introduced and we've extracted, or the committee has extracted parts of that bill. It was something to do, I mean, Christine, are you still there? Wasn't it with the Judicial Officers Bill? I think three bills came out of that one,
yeah.
The introduced bill. So the procedure for doing it, I think this would then become a bill as presented by the committee. So the clean version that's agreed to would be as presented by the committee. And just again to emphasize, the focus is on cybercrime, and also trying to ensure that there are some areas, I think you may have missed some of the members, that even a public interest defense on clauses, the first two crimes, is something we're wanting to look at, but again, it's sort of complex so that it doesn't result in unintended consequences of being able to be too wide. You can't have, on the basis of a public interest defense, a right to or an opportunity to hack into somebody's database because you think that there's evidence in that. You can't do that and then claim a public interest defense. So a public interest defense is something we want to do further work on, not for this bill at the moment. It would delay the passage of this bill. So the intention then is for members to look at the amendments that are proposed, and then for a further meeting to discuss them after members have had time to think about them. So, Honourable Pumwana, it hasn't been sent, I think, to people, but it can be. And I think the request would be in the clean version, not the track changes one, that we affect those amendments to moving the sections from Chapter 3 to Chapter 2, because on the track changes one, it gets a bit unwieldy. I don't know if Mr. Robertson wants to add or Mr. Mangena.
Yeah, I'm just
going to
thank you, Deputy Minister. Mr. Chairperson, I probably need to respond to some other matters that was raised. Critical infrastructure, the Parliament is in the process of passing a goal that deals with critical infrastructure. Critical infrastructure is by definition not critical information infrastructure, but that's more related to physical infrastructure. To an extent, critical information infrastructure will not be protected. However, as indicated, Chapter 9 of the Electronic Communications and Transactions Act 2000, Act 25 of 2000, do provide a provision that deals with the protection of critical databases. So to an extent, it can assist in the protection of critical information infrastructure. Regarding green words, the words in green was discussed between various other persons. I think what is in the bill in green, and it did not strike through for that to be green. I think fixed platform was explained by the Deputy Minister. That's what it means. It means a structure out at sea, like a oil rig or a drilling platform that is actually regarded as within the jurisdiction of South Africa. We do get that, amongst others, in terrorism legislation. It's also in the National Key Points Act, which is now being repealed by the Critical Information Commission, where they do make a reference to a fixed platform. And I'm not aware that any of that bills actually do define it specifically. However, in international documents, there is a kind of definition of that. And that's the structure adopted either on land or in the sea. But I need to check for that. But the basic definition is it's something that is erected in the sea.
I want to ask to unpack this issue of the wording green a bit further, please. Mr. Rosnell
Robert
says that was discussed with various other persons and the ones not struck through is what the department agrees with, but this is not how we're supposed to deal with proposals by interested other parties. I mean, there is the document we initially started with, in which the department responded to everybody that made comments and came to appear in front of the committee. So where I'm sitting, I'm not quite sure what the status of the wording in green is. Is that now comments made even after the public participation process was concluded? If so, why should we only then consider the further comments of some parties? If it is what was part of the public participation process, then it would seem that we halted the process mid-process and now we're confronted with words in green, and the department has somehow in another forum decided we must just take note of what they agree with, while the aborted process was really one in which we engaged with all of the comments and the department had to substantiate why they do not agree with what came through in terms of what interested parties commented. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I think really take, pretend you're colorblind. And green and red. No. Green and red, they look the same. So please treat the green amendments as also proposed amendments from the ministry, from the departments. Okay? Where they have come from, they have largely come from consideration by the ministry and the department of these submissions in the public hearings. And they're basically a response on them. There has been some further engagement with some of the parties that, so for example, Mr. Roberts has spoke about the police in terms of clarifying some issues. So, for example, the 24/7, I wanted clarity from the police because that's their chapter, whether they were happy with that, and they wanted that the wording changed to being what is it now again, designated point of contact, not 24/7. But please take all the colours, the red and the black, as proposed amendments from the Department of the Ministry.
Madam Acting Chair, it's really not that I or we want to frustrate the process, the splitting of it and for now us not dealing with cyber security should obviously enable us to try and finalise this, as I know that the Deputy Minister, I think it's sort of his last wish. But so it's not that we don't want to grant him his wish, but just in terms of proper process, the question remains, what then of the abortive process of dealing with all of the comments made in the public participation process in a structured and focused manner? Because to the best of my recollection, even in terms of the crime section of the bill, there were still from all parties in this committee some issues that were sort of kept in abeyance in dealing with the departmental responses to the cyber crimes issue. So I'm just seeking a proper process forward so that we ultimately do not negate the public participation process to which we are constitutionally bound.
Let me just also come in. I mean, as you know, and there was a document distributed of all the comments were taken with departmental responses. You were meant to have worked through that as the committee, but you seem to, I'm not sure how far you got. Having considered all those comments, these amendments are being proposed by the Ministry and the Department. Having considered those public submissions. So it would be basically in the deliberations, if you still think there are areas that are not addressed, there is that very good summary document which the officials compiled, so you can then use that in the deliberations. We were hoping this process of would take things forward.
Okay. Thank you so much. Then I think it's now past 11. The department has responded to the issues raised by the Honorable Ron and Honorable Deputy Minister. They want to create a dialogue. I can read from this date, it's not specified. Honorable Ron.
Yeah.
I'm a good analyst. I can see yes, there were issues which were raised by the committee then, especially in relation to critical infrastructure, which the department addressed. We knew that even if, what portfolio committee? Which portfolio committee? The police. So these also dealing with that, but as I'm talking now, they are done. I think the deal is before Parliament and before NSOC, because we lately started with us that side. That was one of the issues I can recall. I don't know if there is any other issue. But now, the cyber security part, honorable members and officials and deputy minister, the media, have been taken out. We are now left inside a crime bill, so to say. And in terms of processes which we are to take now, I think, I don't know if the time is still on our side because we are sitting at 2 today. Next 2 o'clock. Are we allowing them to take us on cross to cross now or what?
No.
Okay, they're going to go and divide.
What we're saying, we've tabled this. Yeah. It would be for the members to go through it. Mm-hmm. And then at a further meeting, then I think to go through and see what is agreed with, what is not agreed with,
but
what issues Mr. Horn wants to raise from the public submissions that he doesn't think were addressed and that he still feels there's a concern with. But the next step would be for the members to go through what has been tabled.
So,
At
the beginning, remember I told you we only have this item for today. So thank you so much, the team, the department, honorable members. So we'll be having a plenary at 2. Then tomorrow we are meeting to adopt all those career calls. Yeah, so tomorrow we are meeting around the, what time? I'm told 9 o'clock M201. M201. 9 o'clock. Yes, because of this thing happening. So let's take us around 2 to 2.5 hours.
Wow.
Thank you so much, Honorable Member.
Just to raise a concern about the non-finalization of the second set of regulations in terms of the Legal Practice Act. It is vital that those regulations are approved by the House. Now, I understand that there were some problems with the way the committee did approve them, but I understand there were some problems with the way they were, the reports with ATCs. I understand as well, I think I haven't checked the ATC for this morning, but it has been redone. That it is, you know, we those regulations in August.
But it's part of this committee, because the committee did what is supposed to be. We did what was supposed to be done. This is
the committee section, let me put it that way.
Yes. Thank you so much, Honorable Members. We'll meet there too. Okay.
Yes, yes, yes.